Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, hour number two. RJ Saunders is in for Sean Mapes. Astros are playing the bum-ass Oakland A's this weekend. Hey, I'll give the A's this. Considering they're about to be one of the worst teams in baseball history, they have been entertaining this year, no? I mean, their play-by-play guy got fired for dropping an N-bomb while talking about the Negro Leagues. Suboptimal time to do it. Just a thought. You have, again, like historically bad play. There is a possum that has taken over the team broadcast booth. There was a big boycott of A's games that was done by the actual band itself, that annoying band that plays music all the time. There was
a 39 game like special for like $99.
You're right, Sean or RJ. God, I'm so bad with this.
It's cool.
You're so right though. You're right. It was like 33 games, I think, for $97.
Yeah.
So you had that.
Then you also had your minor league team had more fans than you at one of their games.
They did. Even more, as we continue to talk about things that have been funny with the A's this year. They were going to do a reverse boycott where they actually show up for a game to prove that they still care. I think it has since been canceled because there will be a vote, I think, in the next couple of weeks for baseball. Rob Manfred said it about the team moving to Las Vegas. They just purchased land there. It's pretty much a done deal. They're going to be the Las Vegas A's in the near future. The real question is, does it start next year? Does it start a couple of years from now? I imagine it's going to take them some time to actually build the stadium. So you're going to have that awkward situation where maybe the A's are homeless for a little bit. Seems on brand for the Bay Area. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. But the A's, disaster that they are entertaining. I think their best player, excuse me, not their best player, their highest paid player at one point this year was making $3 million a year and his ERA was 10. We're talking like over four starts. I mean, it's been impressive. So hopefully the Astros sweep the A's over the weekend and the Orioles sweep the Rangers. Orioles are playing well. This might be one of the rare weekends where you actually have more interest in a game, a series out of town than the one in town, right? Because, I mean, you are assuming the Astros sweep. Honestly, like, if the Astros sweep, you'll be okay. And if the Astros lose any of these games, or worse, lose the series, you're going to be like, this is ridiculous. Damn it, Jose Abreu, Rafael Montero, Michael Brantley, Jeff Bagwell, Lance.
Well, hey, listen, Jose Abreu's going to lead the team. He's going to get hot, and he's going to carry the ball club.
RJ, if there's ever a weekend that's going to happen, good God, it's this weekend against the minor league team.
Don't you feel like it should be?
It should be. Again, I have no expectations. Stop trying like Joe Espada did on MLB Network Radio, like Jeff Bagwell has done. Stop trying to tell me that this is all going to be fine. I'm okay with it not being fine. Sometimes these moves don't work out, but stop trying to tell me it's going to be okay. That's what's getting annoying. Like, we're smarter than this. We've watched very good baseball the last couple of years, and we are all aware that sometimes signings don't work out. But don't tell me that it's going to work out and it just needs time. It's been a quarter of the bleeping year for Abreu. I mean, we're almost at a third of the year. What are we at? 50 games now?
Yeah, about like 43, 44?
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer, RJ. So I think there's got to be a better way for the Astros to handle this publicly. And I get it. You want to cape for Jose Abreu. I hope he turns it around. Seems like a cool dude. But the reality is he's struggling at the plate. I thought to myself yesterday would be a great day with the Astros not playing to use ChatGPT. So I asked ChatGPT. This is a real ChatGPT. I asked ChatGPT, tell me something about the Astros that nobody's talking about. And my God, it's like they work for the Astros. I was impressed by the PR. One lesser known aspect about the Astros is their commitment to community outreach and philanthropy. Well, much of the recent focus on the Astros has been their on-field performance and sign-stealing scandal. The team has been actively involved in various charitable initiatives. How about that, ChatGPT? In the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey, Astros players and organizations stepped up to assist in recovery efforts. They have a foundation that supports organizations focusing on youth sports and education, military and first responders, childhood cancer awareness, combating homelessness. They've also seen players more actively involved in charitable endeavors, visiting hospitals, schools, community centers. While these philanthropic efforts, may not be as prominently discussed in the media. Oh, damn, ChatGPT calling me out. They highlight the Astros' dedication to giving back. King of Twitch says, you know that ChatGPT is 2020 data. Actually, I asked them, it's 2021 data. It's data up to 2021. But hey, that's the spin. So I asked, well, I was like, well, actually, I only care about sports. So then it gave me this long spiel about how the Astros do a fantastic job with their analytics department. And I was like, hey, but Jeff Bagwell, who has more say now, he doesn't really like that.
We need baseball players.
Yeah. And I referenced a couple of signings that haven't worked out. I referenced Abreu, Rafael Montero, and Brantley. And while it doesn't have current data to go off of, man, they would make a great head of Astros PR. Like whoever the White House press secretary is, ChatGPT could easily do that job. It said, it's worth mentioning that decisions made during the offseason are complex and multifaceted. The success or failure of these moves cannot be solely attributed to the absence of a general manager or the influence of analytics. Many factors like player performance, injuries, team dynamics, and other external variables can affect the outcome of these decisions. Ultimately, the outcome of any decision-making process is an ongoing process of learning, adaptation, and continuous improvement for sports organizations. Hell yeah, ChatGPT. I mean, my God, like this is Soviet-level propaganda. I like it. I like it. So there you go. That was me talking with ChatGPT over the weekend. RJ, there was a clip that went viral yesterday, and it comes out of the NBA. I don't know how many people are familiar with the work of Sports Illustrated's Chris Mannix, but he was on the Rich Eisen show yesterday and had this to say about complaints over Denver Nuggets getting almost no coverage up to now. And even with them winning the Western Conference Finals, there's more chatter about like, what's next for LeBron? RJ loves
drama in Los Angeles almost weekly. You've got the Suns. Can they succeed in this first year with Kevin Durant? The Warriors, all their dysfunction this year. The Clippers, can they get it together? The Nuggets' problem is they're not respected. They're just not talked about. People just don't find them as interesting as some of the teams on the bottom half of the bracket.
Because you see, I guess, what, Steven Adams doing more commercials than Jokic? I mean, you're
he
certainly...
doesn't want to do it. Like, look, it's a kind of a cliche, but he just wants to play, he wants to collect a check, and he wants to help his team win. That's really all that's on his mind.
That's it.
Any given week. You don't see him doing endorsement deals. You remember when he won the MVP award, both times, the Nuggets had to fly over to Serbia to give it to him. He was out. He was gone. He was just hanging with his family back home in Europe. So they're just not a compelling team to talk about, mm-hmm. to write about, at least not as compelling as some of the other teams I mentioned.
Okay.
Then he listed the Lakers, RJ's favorite squad. There is a lot of drama always with the Lakers.
I didn't like that. I didn't like this LeBron drama.
You didn't like it?
I don't like it.
You feel like he is calling attention to himself? I actually believed LeBron when he said that, which is rare because I almost always assume that LeBron is le capping.
Like, you got swept, man. Like, enough with the, like Sham Sharania came out yesterday. Oh, LeBron has a torn tendon in his foot he's been playing with for the last. He chose to. And with that torn tendon, you got swept by the Nuggets.
Right.
LeBron, let it. Now you're talking about retiring?
Mm-hmm.
Enough.
He did score 40 points with that torn tendon. So it might have been a small minor tendon.
Like, hey, like you scored 40 points.
But look what we're doing right now, RJ. We're talking about the Lakers, who are, with their drama, sometimes more interesting. So a lot of people were mad at what Mannix had to say. But I think he's not entirely wrong here. The Suns, with Kevin Durant joining, what's next for them? That is certainly compelling. The Golden State Warriors, there was a punch that disrupted their whole season. You have what's going on in Philadelphia. Like, there are a lot of teams across the league that you probably look at and you're more intrigued by them than by Denver. But I think that's changed now, because I think we finally respect Denver. It's sort of the same way that it took us a while, I think, collectively, and maybe Houston was the final holdout here, like some of those Japanese islands post-World War II, like the last stragglers of admitting that Giannis Antetokounmpo is good. But this happened with Giannis. When Giannis and the Bucks won, everyone was like, oh, Giannis is kind of fun and goofy, and he's awesome to watch, and the Bucks are intriguing. But they were a nothing afterthought before all of that happened. Now that you've seen Nikola Jokic in a playoff series and they've won, the script has changed. For casual sports fans, all of a sudden you've seen Jokic doing what he is doing.
At the size he is, not height, but weight.
Right. He's not like super fast or athletic, but he just does a lot of incredible things. There are, and I hate to make the Larry Bird comparison, but as far as what the person's able to do in spite of maybe athletic limitations, it's really impressive. Obviously, Jokic has the whole, he's an absolute ogre thing going on. So he's got a lot of size. He uses that size. Not a lot of players in basketball these days use that size. But I think a lot of people are now willing to admit that the Nuggets are actually more entertaining, interesting than they thought before. But it had me wondering this. What good teams in sports are actually boring, and what bad teams in sports are actually entertaining? 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show with Paul Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring Paul Gallant alongside special guest Paul Gallant. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Also, RJ Saunders in for Sean Mapes behind the glass. DJ
RJ.
Is this also from NBA Live 2003? Hell yes. I just love that we're playing NBA Live 2003 songs. I think I'm going to crack open my Xbox 360 and play a little NCAA football 2014 today. Maybe I'll start a dynasty with somebody. Who should I start a dynasty with? 713-780-3776.
Syracuse.
No, it's annoying playing in the dome after a while. Maybe I'll do the Cougs. Could do the Cougs. Could do Texas State. Though it's annoying that they're not Southwest Texas State anymore. I like the rogue nature that they used to carry themselves with as a party school. So send in text on that, suggestions for that.
So what's your feelings, just quickly, what's your feelings on NCAA coming back?
I'm so excited. It's my favorite sports video game. A lot of people like Madden, but I really love Dynasty Mode in NCAA football because the recruiting nature of it. And when they made it an online dynasty, I want to say 2008, 2009, me and a couple of my best friends, we had one going for a couple of years and played in some like epic classic games. And I really enjoyed that moment of my life. Now, my big problem with the football video games is nothing makes me angrier than the sports video games when I lose. So I've stopped playing them altogether. Like, I throw massive temper tantrums. I get so pissed off.
It's you weird. Rage?
I get mad when technology fails me. And whenever a team, like, for example, whenever somebody fumbles in these games, I'm like, that's not my fault.
Right. It's just it's like this
randomly was decided by the computer. Like, I can't do anything about it. So I always get pissed off about that. But, yeah, I don't play the sports video games that much anymore. In the last segment, we were talking about how Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated thinks the Nuggets aren't particularly compelling, which I get to a degree, but his reasoning was, well, Nikola Jokic never makes himself available to the media. He never talks to anyone. He is a hulking, unathletic guy from Serbia with two brothers that want to beat the hell out of everybody. His coach is a walking one-liner machine in Michael Malone. Jamal Murray every now and then explodes for like 50 points out of nowhere. The Nuggets are an entertaining team. Their uniforms, the Mile High City ones, are fire.
Yes.
There's a lot of cool things about the Denver Nuggets. It's just that we've never taken them seriously until literally right now, because they had never been past the second round of the NBA Finals with Jokic. They had never even made it to an NBA Finals. Essentially, they were the same team that they were when they left the ABA for the NBA until they swept the LA Lakers in, I would say, very, very, without much difficulty, RJ. Sorry about your Lakers there, but they killed a team led by LeBron James with a healthy Anthony Davis. Like, they beat the hell out of them.
Not only beat him, but, I mean, this is the first time that Denver really has had Jamal Murray healthy,
right,
you know, in a playoff run. Also, as an aside, when you look at Nikola Jokic, and then you look at his brothers are yacked up and swole, and here's Nikola just, hey, I'm here.
If the NBA were to bring trial by combat back or physicality back, and we have Adam Silver talking about physicality, we'll get to that a little bit later. I mean, the Jokic trio... I think would win in a battle royale against just about every single player in basketball. And part of that has to do with the fact that I think most basketball players are not as hard as they make themselves out to be. I get it. Like Ja Morant, he likes pistols. He likes guns. Ja Morant in a fist fight. Well, against a teenager, he's done pretty well. Got like 13 punches in on that one teenager, allegedly. But I would say that the guys who have played specifically in the Balkans, I would not want to F with any of them. Patrick Beverley, I wouldn't want to mess with because he's from the south side of Chicago. I would not want to mess with Goran Dragic. I would not want to mess with Luka Doncic. I would not want to mess with Nikola Jokic. I don't want to mess RJ. I don't want to
because of who they're surrounded by.
You come from that part of the world, you are probably tough.
The only reason, okay, here's one guy, James Johnson. The only reason why I don't want to mess with him is because everyone knows he's like a fourth degree black belt, so much so. Tyler Hansbrough, because James Johnson kind of with a late hit on Tyler. Tyler gets one of those mean faces, like it's going to like turn around and be like, what the? And he looked and he saw it was James, and I think it clicked like third degree black belt. Hey, I'll go to the line and shoot my two.
Smart. Listen, Tyler Hansbrough does carry himself, and he might be actually hard, but carries himself with the energy of my dad will take care of this. He just does.
Absolutely.
It's not his fault. He looks like the bad guy in a high school rom-com. Like,
yes.
He just looks like that guy. But anyway, people said the Nuggets were uninteresting. Who are the most uninteresting, successful teams in professional sports? We got a comment on the text line. The Tim Duncan Spurs. Yes. Yes. I would argue, too, until the cheating scandal, the New England Patriots were boring. They were. Like, it was a great defense, but nothing flashy. But then they cheated, and then they became hateable. You could maybe make that argument with the Houston Astros before the cheating scandal, too. Like, the Astros were just a damn good ball club. Were they super interesting? And I think this is a big problem for baseball as a whole. Like, you need to have some bad guys. Like, there aren't in baseball that many, like, truly compelling squads. The Yankees, because of name brand. The Dodgers, it's because of name brand. The Padres, because of all the money that they've spent. The Mets, because they always blow it. Like, those teams, I guess, are compelling. The Mets are playing like ass, by the way, to open up the year. But the question I had for you, what good teams in sports are actually boring? I got a couple. One, the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's a great quarterback. Stephon Diggs is a great wide receiver. But they get so much hype. And, I mean, they're not Patrick Mahomes when Mahomes had Tyreek Hill. They're not Patrick Mahomes now. They're not. Chiefs win. The Bills get a lot of coverage because I think everyone is like, oh, they're so cute, the Buffalo Bills. Bills Mafia, they're fans. And I mean, I imagine there's a lot of people here that are still harboring resentment from 30 years ago with Frank Reich. And I don't blame you for that. I get kind of annoyed with the amount of worshiping that the Buffalo Bills get. They're a good team. They're obviously better than the Texans. They're better than my Patriots right now. But they also are discussed as if they are super interesting. I don't think they are. I don't. I think the Bengals are more interesting. I think the Chiefs are more interesting. And I mean, that's the top three teams in the AFC on an annual basis. And I would also say, like, okay, let's take a look at some other teams across the AFC. Are the Jets more interesting than the Buffalo Bills now that Aaron Rodgers is aboard? I hate to admit it, but yes, they are. Dolphins, not so much because Tua. Sorry. Also in the AFC, Baltimore Ravens. Odell Beckham Jr. does make them somewhat interesting, even though Odell Beckham Jr. is essentially a washed-up pop star at this point in time. Play the hits! Well, your best song was from 2016. Steelers, not going to go that far. Browns are interesting, but they're not good. AFC South. AFC South as a whole, boring. Jaguars included. AFC West. Broncos and Russell Wilson, they're not good, so you can't put them in this conversation. The Chargers, they're interesting because they always find ways to blow it. That's fun. So, I don't know. I think you could argue that a lot of those teams are more compelling than the Buffalo Bills. Good teams that aren't as interesting as they are made out to be. Another one, Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys are a good team, but there's not enough off-the-field BS for my liking. There's not enough. Like, they're actually, like, a well-behaved team now.
Especially now. Operative word.
Now, yeah. Like, there's no more weird Dez Bryant stories. There's no more Ezekiel Elliott stories. The part of the Cowboy charm that was made them, I think, so detestable for some. I'm not going to lie. When I was growing up, I kind of liked the Cowboys. The team that they had in the 90s with Jimmy Johnson and Michael Irvin and obviously like Captain America's and Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith, Deion Sanders, like that team was bleeping cool. You couldn't argue against that. They were cool. Now, like, they're talked about a lot, but they're not as interesting as they used to be. NBA, every single year, the Knicks, they're not interesting.
Oh, but they're good. Jalen Brunson.
Yes, Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson. Stop.
And that's it.
Yep. Julius Randle. I mean, he's kind of interesting because it seems like he's a bit of a bleephead. But hey, we got a lot of those in the NBA. Baseball, I would say pretty much all successful teams, but I would say on a year-to-year basis, the Cardinals are never actually interesting, and yet they are discussed as if they are an interesting franchise. Cubs are probably in that same conversation, too. Dodgers, at the very least, win, but like, there's nothing on the Dodgers that... If the Dodgers had a Shohei Ohtani or a Mike Trout or something like that, that would be one thing. But who do you look at as the face of the Dodgers? I think Clayton Kershaw, and Kershaw always blows it in the playoffs. Is that compelling?
You had like a weird time there in LA where like Yasiel Puig was like your face.
That's true. And Puig was fun.
Yeah.
Puig was fun. But now it's Mookie Betts, and nothing against Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts is just not as interesting. If we're going to, you know, go the same round as Chris Mannix. And I don't hate entirely what Mannix had to say about the Nuggets. How about this? What bad teams in sports are actually entertaining? Texans aren't. Not anymore. They got rid of all the entertaining stuff. The drama, you know, there's no more O'Brien. There's no more Easterby. There's no more Deshaun Watson. The Rockets, no, they're not. They're not. The Mavericks, bad team. They are bad. They didn't make the playoffs. They are bad, but they brought in Kyrie Irving. Fun. Very fun. We talked about it going into this segment. The Oakland A's, bad team, but interesting bad team. And in the NFL, the Commanders, the Browns, I think the Broncos.
A little bit.
I don't know if they're going to be bad this year, but they were bad last year. The Cardinals, my God. Cardinals have been fun. Like DeAndre Hopkins, he's saying that he wants to stay in Arizona, but he would be okay being traded to these teams, and this is what he's looking for in his next destination. Here are the quarterbacks I'd want to play with. You have Kyler Murray's video game clause in his contract.
I mean, how crazy is that?
That's a fun one. I like it. The Raiders are interesting, too, because right now it's pretty messy. Like, Devontae Adams had that feature piece, made a lot of valid points. Now he felt the need to defend himself yesterday. Josh McDaniels was like, yep, that's okay. They brought in Jimmy Garoppolo. They thought they were going to get Aaron Rodgers. They didn't. They don't have enough money, so Tom Brady's buying the team because they're broke. It feels like every single guy that they drafted in the first round over the last couple of years has perhaps received a jail sentence of late. Henry Ruggs, there's another guy, too, that recently was charged with something that was a first-round pick, too. I forget that guy's name, and that's the thing with the Raiders. Like, sometimes you lose track. Anyway, Paul Galancho, ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in and text in. Most entertaining bad teams, least compelling good teams. We'll keep that on the table the rest of the show. And there's something going on in Texas right now that has me thinking about like what it would take to impeach the biggest sports figures in Houston sports, many of whom have only been here for such a short amount of time that we don't really have much to go off of. Paul Galancho.
ESPN 97.5.
Listening to the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
RJ Saunders is cooking behind the glass on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. He's sitting in for Sean Mapes. NBA Live 2000, the soundtrack that changed my life. In that, I heard songs I'd never heard before that were a couple of years old, and that's generally me. You could play me a song from 1993, there's a chance I might not have heard it, but I'll be playing it all night long afterwards. It's not that I am musically picky. I'm musically ignorant, musically challenged. There are just a lot of songs and bands and artists I don't know, and I think it's very funny that much like with our beer choice being a part of certain people's identity, I'm a Miller Lite guy. By the way, I am a Miller Lite guy. I'm a Coors Light guy. I'm a Bud Light, they, them. There's this element of music being such a part of people's identity that they're going to be pissed off if you don't know their favorite band. It's a weird dynamic.
So, like, what's your genre?
I don't have a genre. I like pretty much all music. Hell, I even kind of like country now. Never thought I would say that.
Country? Well, I mean, we're
old
in Texas.
Country. Not the new country, not that bro country BS, but, and there's a lot of the new stuff where I'm like, shut up, and because it all sounds the same.
Right.
The lyrics are all literally like ChatGPT generated, like, I have a truck and a dog, and I went down through the river, pulled out my shotgun.
Careful, Paul.
What? What?
That's people who love country music and think that that's everybody thinks that's what it is, but it's not. Old, and they'll come riot.
The old stuff, RJ, is good. Like the old George Strait is really good. Like,
yeah,
I'm like shocked by how much I like George Strait. Some other ones that are of late too. I like Chris Stapleton. Like there are some from recent days that I like, but I'll be honest. Like I have no idea who sings what and what is what. And
I don't either.
It's great. Like I just don't go out of my way to listen to music. People get mad if you don't listen or haven't heard the songs that they've heard. So you should definitely, if you have a friend who's Taylor Swift, a Taylor Swift fan, a Swiftie, like mess with them. Mess with them mercilessly. They will get mad. They will take it as an insult to their character. It's like the basic white girl religion cult. We're all Swifties together. Just confuse songs and think that you the idea of an album being an era is stupid. Like, just say stuff like that. Just needle them. And they will probably try to stab you with their talons. Nails. That's out of style, right? Girls aren't wearing the long nails anymore. I don't know. I've always wondered, like, what happens if you get stuff underneath them? Anyway, sorry. This is real ADD rabbit hole here. This is not supposed to be political. I just thought this could inspire sports. Localized news story leads to sports talk conversation on the radio. I saw this yesterday that the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, might get impeached. Oh, let's not talk about the details. Imagine instead that you are a for-hire mercenary prosecution attorney. You've got to find reasons to fire with cause the most powerful sports figures in Houston sports. We're not talking owners here because owners, you can't get rid of an owner unless they get canceled like Jerry Richardson or Dan Snyder. Dusty Baker, Rafael Stone, Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, Dana Brown, Ime Udoka. You have to figure out a way to impeach major Houston sports figures. With Dusty Baker, it's going to be the lineup management. Or, if you really want to get specific, perhaps his... I guess, actually, this is a reason to keep him aboard. Dusty Baker is never going to make a HIPAA violation. Nope. He's just going to confuse you when it comes to any injuries that the Astros are playing through. So you can't use that. It's legitimately like, why Jose Abreu? That's really all you got. But Dusty is essentially a made man. And like Ken Paxton, allegedly, I think could, you know, pay some people off to look the other way. Might not even have to pay people off to look the other way. They might do it voluntarily for the godfather of Houston sports coaching right now. Rafael Stone. What could we do to impeach Rafael Stone? Well, people talk about the separation of church and state all the time, and you have an owner that's saying, I pray for Wemby, and honestly, because he is paying Rafael Stone, I am of the belief that perhaps Rafael Stone is a fundamentalist and cannot be trusted. Hey, look at me. I'm Rafael Stone. I am praying for the Rockets to get the number one overall lottery pick. I am praying to the lottery gods. It seems like somebody who's perhaps a tad unhinged, impeached. Nick Caserio. Well, I mean, you could impeach him for racism, right? David Culley, only 1 year in the job. Oh, it's fine. We'll hire Lovie Smith. We can't be called racist then. Fired Lovie Smith after a year on the job. Boom. There you go. Prosecution lawyers out there. D'Amico Ryans. The Texans were pandering by hiring him. Boom, impeached. Dana Brown, constantly talking about contracts that he's going to sign that have yet to be signed. Boom, impeached. Ime Udoka, he was already canceled and you hired him. Impeached. So there you go. Those are ways that you can impeach all the major Houston sports figures in town. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. Impeach Jeff Bagwell for not only, whoa, I'm not even sure if I can read that story because I don't know the details about it, but doing an interview with a legal substance sitting right behind him. Wow. Was that PEDs? Were they party drugs? I want to know. Another text, 713-780-3776. You're taking all the fun out of this by limiting it to Houston. I want to fire Manfred or Goodell. Fair enough. I was just trying to localize it. So, I mean, Goodell... Serious question. Who do you think was more of a bleeper over historically? Pontius Pilate with Jesus or Roger Goodell with Tom Brady? I don't know. RJ's eyes just widened. I love making RJ uncomfortable. I'm just asking the question. I'm not answering it. Someone might tell me, obviously, it was Roger Goodell. And that's what I would assume the answer is going to be. But I think that the way that Goodell has handled punishments and the inconsistency with which he does it, that would be a reason. But he's going to get an extension. Manfred, it's been comical. I am stunned that Manfred is still in power. Like, if you're a baseball owner, what has Manfred done outside of the recent rule changes, which I actually like? What has Manfred done before that, though, that makes you feel like, yeah, this guy should stick around for a long period of time? What else do we have? Text line 713-780-3776. From the 832, this is a reason to impeach Nick Caserio. I have no evidence for this. This is not me. This is a texter. But Nick looks like the type of guy who collects an extreme amount of taxidermy specimens, and you aren't sure where they are sourced from. It's not just the glasses and the vest. It's the fact that Caserio seems to be so well put together. Like, the guy's in great shape. There are elements of, like, what is he doing with Caserio that are totally unfair? He's just a guy who takes care of himself. But then when he speaks and he keeps everything so close to the actual vest, yeah, that, I think that's a fair point. 713-780-3776 to call into text, and you can join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or get after us on Twitter at Gallant Says at R Got No J. Why is that your Twitter handle, RJ?
Well, it's R has no J.
It's not R got no J. It's R
not
has-
anymore. That one, I don't know. See, like, Twitter blocked me out of that one, so I had to switch it to R has no J.
Oh.
But it's a nickname that my middle school basketball coach, who was also the custodian at the school, he would not let me, like, shoot, you know, outside of the paint because I was the tallest guy on the team. So he'd be like, R has no J. And I was like, come on, dude. Like, I had like 21 points like last night. He's like, yeah, but you shot no jumpers, so you don't have a J. So kind of like that thing with like Jason Kidd before he had the jumper, they called him Ason Kidd. So
this is legitimately because he thought you couldn't shoot.
He thought I couldn't shoot, but I can.
Shoot.
Yes.
You could shoot. I didn't know you played basketball.
Oh, yeah. Basketball is like my life.
What position did you play back in the day?
Well, back in the day, elementary to like middle school was like center, and then once I got to like high school, it was like small forward, like shooting guard, like okay. He's a slasher, but then like he can shoot just a little bit. But
I want to watch you play now.
Oh, okay.
No. What? You played it at some level. I'm assuming that you're decent.
Yeah, I'm decent.
Right.
Yeah.
I would like to see it because I am the horrible pickup basketball player. I'm the guy that everyone gets annoyed by that wants to fight him. Like, so I haven't played in a while because I like to play like really lockdown defense. I enjoy defense more than I do offense because I can only dribble essentially with my right hand. Not a bad dribbler, but I can only dribble with my right hand, and my shot is ugly. And it'll work like some games. It'll just be terrible, and I can't really create for myself. Like I can try to drive by with like going right, but I'm going too fast underneath the basket, and I will like essentially bounce the ball off the backboard like I'm Philip Seymour Hoffman in A Long Came Polly. You know, I'm going for that layup. Like, I don't have any touch. So it's just defense and antagonism, which is why I identify with Patrick Beverley and Draymond Green and all those other agitators in basketball.
Every team needs that, though.
You do. Trip Oddshot says, Paul can't play. He is white. Hey, we are not a racist show here. We are not. And my athleticism is pretty cool. I wish that I could dunk. I can get two hands on the rim. I just, my hands aren't big enough to, like, quite do that final, like...
Just can't finish.
There's a doctor for that, some would argue. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joel's a good basketball player. I've played with Joel before. Someone's saying, RJ versus Joel at the gym. Could we have that happen? The battle on the blacktop. How about that? ESPN 97.5. We do need to have some summer events. We do. Anyway, we wrap things up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to...
Hey! Yeah, you! You better be listening to ESPN 97.5. And don't you dare turn that down!
ESPN 97.5. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Oh my God, this is bringing back so many memories. NBA Live 2003. There's a song called We Ballin' Boy. Look it up yourself. It is ridiculous. Basically, the whole song is just, we ballin' boy, ballin' boy, ballin' boy. And then the rest of the lyrics, RJ Saunders and Rashawn Mays behind the glass.
What you know about them heat, boy?
Right, it's like every single team in the NBA, they just list like, what you doing about that team, that team, that team? It's very goofy. Anyway, NBA Live 2003, shout out to that video game. Jason Kidd with the New Jersey Nets on the cover. God, that is a blast from the past. Those were some good teams. Richard Jefferson. Who was their third best player? Kenyon Martin, probably. And then they would run into the Lakers in the finals, and that was it.
And you had, like, Kerry Kittles.
Yep, Kerry Kittles. You're right.
Harris.
I hated those teams. I hated those. Because they were the Celtics' big rivals then, and they always got the better of the Celtics when it mattered. So I hated the New Jersey Nets of the early 2000s. I remember there was a big controversy once because a Boston sports writer made a joke, Bob Ryan, I believe, about Jason Kidd beating his wife. And I feel like he got like a 2-day suspension from Around the Horn, which was a show that I used to regularly watch.
All the time.
Old school Around the Horn, old school Pardon the Interruption, when they were news shows, were good.
Really good.
Here's the problem with a lot of shows. After a while, they do tend to run their course, right? Now, Michael Wilbon is so bleeping sanctimonious, it's hard to watch Pardon the Interruption. It's different. But shout out to the early 2000s. What a time to be alive.
What a time.
No cell phones. NBA Live 2003. Right. It was just a good old time. Battlefield 1942, when it originally came out for the PC. So I spent so much time playing that bleeping game. Anyway. So, things we've talked about on today's Paul Gallant Show. We're hoping that Jose Abreu gets it going this weekend against the A's. We would like people to stop saying it's going to happen. It might not happen. The A's are a joke. The Astros should sweep them. We're hoping that the Orioles sweep the Rangers so that my prediction, Paul Stradamus' prediction of the Astros being in first place by the end of May comes true. As far as other things we talked about ways that we could impeach Houston sports figures just a moment ago. We discussed alternative nicknames for Houston sports teams. And that's all on the Paul Gallant Show podcast, so you should check it out. Anyway, time for a little garbage time before we wrap things up.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Texter asked if the Wheelhouse counts as Houston sports figures getting impeached for slandering Paul.
I wouldn't know because I don't listen. I wouldn't know.
Are you trying to start a beef?
Nope. I actually do listen occasionally. Except for the one time when they were going to have me on for Hypothetical Tuesday and I just took a nap. My spin zone was, yeah, I was listening to the Wheelhouse and it put me to sleep. Like, no, I took a nap and it ended up being a 4-hour nap. My big problem is whenever I wake up but try to go back to sleep, whatever my nap sleep is, I just have some bleeped up dreams and I have a hard time like removing myself from them. Had one this morning that I was still in Seattle and that I was going, somebody stopped me in the middle of my segment from doing radio because I was making political jokes and I didn't know who it was. So I was like running around the building trying to find who unplugged the station and had me like stop going on the air. And I was really angry, but I didn't know who to yell about it. Anyway, no one cares about your dreams. Houston's parking situation is crappy enough, right? Because there are so many places with mandatory valet. Sometimes it costs $5, sometimes it costs $10, and that's before you even tip the valet driver, even though there's a perfectly fine parking lot to park there. Well, guess what? Houston is proposing extending meter hours in Midtown and Downtown. It used to be free after 6 p.m. They are proposing making it until midnight. So thanks. Thanks. Here's the problem, too, with a lot of those parking meters. They're solar-powered, and they stop working. Because some of those buildings, you're in the shade around 4, 5 o'clock. There were times where I would be doing Sports Talk Live at CSN Houston, which is downtown Houston, and I wouldn't be able to park anywhere because the parking meters literally didn't work. So what I would do is I'd get a piece of paper out and write on the piece of paper, "Your bleepy meters don't work because they're solar powered. Figure it out. Thanks, love, Paul." Never got a ticket. Worked out. Two teens have been charged for their alleged roles in a prank that evacuated Caney Creek High School in Conroe. A strong odor at the school May 3rd and May 4th prompted evacuations and an extensive search by the district to find the source of the smell. At the time, the district told ABC 13, six students were taken to the hospital for headaches and nausea. They were released the same day. One student said, "I stayed home because I had a headache from school." Court documents state two students had cans labeled fart spray. Now, both students are facing third-degree felony charges for having what's been deemed a prohibited weapon. Damn, that seems like a reach. It seems like a reach. I kind of want to smell how powerful these noxious fumes were. Maybe it was like a homemade fart spray. That could be a little bit dangerous. In football, you know how there's been a lot of beef with the Albany Empire ever since Antonio Brown became the owner? They've had two coaches resign. This is a team that was like two-time defending AFL champions. Two coaches have resigned this year. They got rid of the starting quarterback who also quit. They're both playing on another team. Well, Antonio Brown is going to play for the Albany Empire tomorrow. RJ Saunders behind the glass. Would this get you to watch the Arena Football League?
Probably not. I used to watch it, but I don't anymore.
I would love to watch this, actually. Because I think there's a chance that Brown quits in the middle of the game, much like he did with the Buccaneers against the New York Jets. I think he's got to do it again. If he does it again, I'll feel like my time was warranted. Stick it around there. Some states are considering banning chocolate milk. The proposal states at school. This proposal states the approach would reduce exposure to added sugars and would promote the more nutrient-dense choice of unflavored milk for young children when their tastes are being formed. More specifically, the USDA suggests limiting the amount of strawberry and chocolate milk in high schools and banning it altogether in elementary and middle schools. How about you ban milk? Why not ban milk? Like, do you need milk growing up? Like, isn't that, like, part of this big milk lie? Like, we had big grain lie? Remember the food pyramids back in the day? Like, in the 90s? It was, the bottom was grains. Hey, eat all the grains you can. What happened to that? Everything's gluten-free now. Everything's carb-free, calorie-free. What happened to that? I gotta say, we gotta get back to the basics, but this idea that, like, we're losing milk in cafeteria, like, get rid of all of it. Big milk, scam. Heard it here first. RJ's saying, stop. Big milk is a scam. It's just the farmers and their farmer's almanac and their daylight savings time, they are running your world, and you don't even know it. People talk about Big Pharma. What about Big Farm? Just completely fooling you, bamboozling you. It's ridiculous. So there you go. Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You should subscribe to the show podcast. It's neat. It's also available on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Big thanks to RJ Saunders stepping in for Sean Mapes behind the glass. And just a big thanks to you, my friends, my close and personal friends. Looking forward to being back with you guys on Tuesday. Will Paul be off the air on Monday? Is he getting fired? I want there to be more rampant speculation because you guys have perhaps been interpreting things a little bit too literally this week, but it's fine. It's just been fun. I think the bench will be back on Tuesday too, so that everyone's gonna be happy. But anyway, for RJ Saunders, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. The Killer Bees are up next. Have yourselves a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Peace!
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 on terrestrial radio, or our app, or our stream, or our Twitch, or our boat.
I'm on a boat! I'm on a boat! Everybody look at me, because I'm sailing on a boat!
You're on the ESPN 97.5 boat.
I'm the king of the world, on a boat like Leo. If you own the show, then you show not me.